Ground ball. Velasquez throws across. He's got it! Reed Devers throws a no-hitter!
And last night, Major League Baseball, pretty exciting stuff. In just his 11th career start, 22-year-old rookie pitcher Reed Detmers for the LA Angels threw the first individual no-hitter of the season. Detmers was a sixth-inning leadoff walk away from throwing a perfect game. He struck out just two, so not a dominant performance, but he cruised, and it makes it easier to throw a no-hitter when you have a comfortable lead, which he did. He ended up winning the game 12-0 over the Tampa Bay Rays. Detmers is the youngest pitcher since Anibal Sanchez back in 2006 to throw a no-hitter. He entered the year as Major League Baseball's number one left-handed pitching prospect in all of baseball. He also entered last night's game with a career ERA of 6.33 and 10 career starts, so nobody really saw it coming. And what's also wild about last night's game between Tampa Bay and the LA Angels is that Brett Phillips, former Royal, pitched the eighth inning for the Rays, and Anthony Rendon for the Angels is a right-handed batter but batted from the left side and hit a home run from the left side. So all kinds of wild things happening. And then you've got the young guy, Reed Detmers, throwing a no-hitter, and then there's this old guy who's coming off of really serious injury in Houston Astros ace Justin Verlander, who last night fell five out short of his fourth career no-hitter. At Target Field against the Twins, he lost a no-hit bid in the eighth inning. He gave up a clean single to right field, one out in the eighth. He finished just one hit allowed in eight shutout innings. Justin Verlander is the ageless wonder and amazing what he's able to do. And the guy nearly picked up his fourth no-hitter. Nolan Ryan has the most with seven, as lots of no-hit talk in Major League Baseball last night. Luckily, the Royals were not no-hit last night. The Royals do lose yesterday 6-4. First inning, a problem for the boys in blue. At least there is the good news. Merrifield got an RBI.
Line into center field for a base hit. Here comes Rivera around third, and now the ball gets behind Garcia. Taylor goes to third. Witt had gone about halfway to second base, but he'll hold. And now it is 6-3 with the tying run coming to the plate.
Rangers jumped on Brad Keller's starter with three runs on the bottom of the first. Royals have been outscored 31-6. 31-6 in the first inning, so they're usually behind. They allowed five runs with two outs last night. Brad Keller, 5 2/3. We said he's due to have an off game. He did. 9 hits, 6 runs, 5 earned. Royals do not do well in Texas, and Texas isn't very good. They've lost 16 of the last 20 in Texas. They're 0-4 at the new Globe Life Park. And the Royals' record is now 9-18, which means they lose 2 out of every 3. They're 1-3 on this road trip against teams not expected to contend, the last place Rangers and Orioles. And the Royals have the second worst run differential in baseball. I'm full of good news, aren't I? Here's Mike Matheny of the Royals, the manager, on the fight in his team trying to come back.
I don't think there's ever been doubt in the competitiveness of this team. I mean, they're going to keep coming, which is surprising. You know, when you're not having a lot of individual success or team success, it's hard to keep that mindset, but they're fighting and know they're right there in that game. You know, we're one bloop and a blast from tying it up, and some guys just started throwing some really good at-bats together, taking a really, really good approach, but you know, you just need to see more success. This is the missing piece, is having a little success that's going to lead to the confidence.
Well, they need it quick. Royals 9-18. Game 2 of the 3-game set is tonight at 7:05, and they will determine who's going to be the starting pitchers. And, oh, speaking of pitching, a couple of former Royals pitchers that are doing really well with another team. You start to wonder, could it be coaching? Could it be that Cal Eldred is not a good pitching coach for the Royals? Jacob Junis, who's always had those flashes where you're like, dude, he could have some dominant stuff. Jacob Junis, last year, we talked about how he was thrown to the minors when he was actually pitching well, and we didn't understand it. Jacob Junis, so far with the Giants this year, he started 3 games. He's 1-0, ERA at 1.20. Jorge Lopez, remember him? He nearly threw a no-hitter with the Royals in a trade with the Brewers, and then he went to the Orioles, and now he's with the Giants. He's 3-2. His ERA is 1.13. Let me repeat. Jacob Junis' ERA is 1.20. Jorge Lopez is 1.13. And remember, there's no pitcher hitting anymore, so it's against legitimate lineups. And those two guys look a lot better in the rotation than basically
Jorge's
anybody in the Royals rotation.
Jorge's coming out of the bullpen for the Orioles right now, isn't he? Because he was pitching the other night against the Royals in Baltimore.
Okay. So yeah. Be it.
Yeah,
doesn't
so
change
I think
my
they
point.
Might have figured three, out where
three,
to put him.
Doesn't
to
change
in
my point. He's 3-2 and ERA is 1.13. Yeah. So he still would be a better start in a rotation for the Royals than three of the guys they've got.
Yeah,
maybe, about two, maybe. Maybe
yeah.
two.
I think we kind of thought maybe Jorge might be better suited to be out of the bullpen at times too, and I think that's where Baltimore has found that's probably accurate this year for him.
Not Baltimore. It's the Giants. He's with the
no,
Giants.
No, Jorge Lopez is pitching with the Baltimore Orioles. He pitched against the Royals
okay.
on Sunday.
All
when
right.
I was
well,
watching.
Then I must have missed
yeah.
that.
No, that's why I was
because
saying
I
that.
Had somebody yeah. say on Twitter that both are for the Giants.
Yeah,
so.
No. Yeah, Jorge's with the Orioles because I saw him the other night. Unless he is only playing one game with the Orioles and went to the Giants in the last 2 days. So.
Go ahead and get local sports.
Yeah, local sports. Looking at yesterday, the Beloit Trojans baseball team in an exciting doubleheader there as Beloit had to come back in both games and got the win. Beloit won 7-6 over Sacred Heart. Sacred Heart actually led 6-0 in the first game. Beloit scored 3 in the fourth. They trailed 6-3 and then had 4 in the bottom of the seventh for the walk-off win in game one. In game two, Sacred Heart led 7-3 going into the fifth inning. And then in the bottom of the fifth inning, Beloit had 8 runs to reclaim the lead, and then they scored 4 more in the sixth. Beloit took a 15-7 lead. Sacred Heart did score 5 in the seventh inning, but Noah Gerstner came in to stop the bleeding there and in the run there for Sacred Heart as he got the save, and Beloit won 15-12. So Beloit's now 9-7. They're set to get the number 3 seed in the Russell 3A regional. Here are the Beloit Trojans. Again, regional brackets are going to come out later today. Also, the Clay Center and Concordia games last night. Clay Center winning and getting a sweep over the Panthers 17-3 and 5 and 10-3 in game two. Softball yesterday, Beloit gets a sweep over Ellis, winning game one 7-2, taking game two 7-1. Beloit is 15-3. They'll have the number 2 seed in the TMP 3A regional. Again, bracket will come out today. And also in that regional will be Sylvan Lucas Lincoln. They split with Minneapolis yesterday as Minneapolis won 16-6 in the first game, and Sylvan Lucas Lincoln took the second game 6-5 as Sylvan Lucas Lincoln 8-10 should be the number 4 seed there in that TMP regional. And those brackets are coming out later this morning. We'll post them at ncksports.com when we have them. Also, high school golf yesterday, Tipton Invitational. Lakeside took the team championship with 280. St. John's was second at 301. Tipton Sylvan Lucas was third at 302. Individually, Kylan Cunningham of Lakeside first place with a 67, one stroke ahead of his teammate Taryn Winkle, who finished with a 68 in second place for the Knights. Zach Rose was third for Tipton Sylvan Lucas. Cooper Brown fourth for Lakeside. Cooper Germark of St. John's finished in fifth. Rounding out top 10, Luke Bates of St. John's 6th. Jared Eitzman was 7th for the Blue Jays. And then Lakeside went 8, 9, and 10 with Tyler Schoen, Reed Walsh, and Eli Hahn. Also, the NCAA League meet yesterday in Ellsworth. Sacred Heart took the team championship. And Michael Matusi of Sacred Heart was the individual league champion with a 74 on the day. You can find the complete results for all of that golf as well at ncksports.com. And also congratulations to Kylan Cunningham. He was one of 14 Kansas high school football seniors to be selected by the Coach Bill Snyder Family Sunflower Chapter of the National Football Foundation as 2021-22 Scholar Athletes. Awards recognize excellence in academics, football, and community leadership as selected by the chapter board of directors. And the honorees had to be nominated by their head coach. And Kylan Cunningham of Lakeside, one of those honorees. And you can learn more about that at ncksports.com.
Jacob Junis has thrown 15 innings. He struck out 15 batters. He has appeared in 3 games. He's 1-0, ERA 1.20, one strikeout per inning. Jorge Lopez does pitch for the Baltimore Orioles. Came off the bereavement list. He is 3-2 in relief, ERA 1.13, 16 innings, 16 strikeouts, and 4 saves. He's also averaging 1 strikeout per inning. Interesting. Those arms, you know, didn't do well for the Royals. And you have to sit here and say, maybe, just maybe, it is coaching. And did you see what
how many times have we said that about Royals pitchers?
Development. The Royals can't develop pitchers. They just don't. We talk about it. The only one we could come up with that's a solid development pitcher that the Royals actually drafted was Danny Duffy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one we can come up with. The other one was Yordan Ventura, and he wasn't fully developed yet, and unfortunately passed away way too soon. Daniel Lynch would be the next best one on that. The only one you can go further back would be Zach Greinke, who's now 38. That's how far we've gone in regards to the Royals developing pitchers. When they won the World Series in 15 and they made it to Game 7 in 14, it wasn't because of young pitching.
No.
It
no.
was Edison Volquez, Chris Young, James Shields. It was guys they acquired.
Cueto.
Cueto, they had to acquire. I mean, I mean, just it's amazing. You know, obviously, even their bullpen. You know, Holland was a guy that they had and they developed, but everybody else wasn't. Yeah. Madsen, Wade Davis. I mean, Herrera was. But the Royals have a really horrible track record of developing young pitching. And then we're sitting here, you know, three or four years ago going, wow, the Royals are going to be really good when all these guys come at the same time and these pitchers. And then we got Brady Singer that we think is going to be unbelievable. And he looked pretty good his first year. He's regressed. He might be back in rotation soon. We go all gaga over Coco Post, Jackson Kowar. He can't even, he's having troubles in the minors. His confidence looks like is shot. We talk about Daniel Lynch being a can't miss guy, and he's been up and down, although there's signs he could be the guy. And Asa Lacy's supposed to be an absolute stud eventually. Tall left-hander with a repertoire of pitches, but for all we know, that ain't going to work out either.
Yeah.
And then you also got to look at the hitting coach. The Royals have had the same pitching and hitting coach for now 4 or 5 years. Is there progress? Not on the hitting side right now.
No.
So you have to start thinking about who are the scapegoats and who do you clean house with. And I don't know where you go if you're the Royals, but hopefully Sermon Petro will help us coming up later. It's time for our Cubs update.
Holy cow!
With Jason Broadfoot.
5-4, San Diego won. Ninth inning rally, came up just a little short. They needed two, they got one.
They got a moral victory by nearly winning. Yeah, oops. Royals are the same boat last night. Yeah. Nearly won.
Got close.
Darn the luck.
Good effort.
Yeah, this Cubs update brought to you by Ferris Bueller. All right, the Chiefs will open the season at Houston with a noon kickoff. The NFL schedule will be released tomorrow night. Looking forward to that. In other big NFL news yesterday, man, you know, you kind of feel like, what's Tom Brady going to do when his career's actually over? I mean, I feel like he probably doesn't have many options, does he? Everybody's sick of him. Tom Brady's NFL playing career isn't over, but when it is, he's already ready to go with Fox Sports. Yesterday it was announced that Brady has agreed to a deal with Fox to become its lead analyst. So no experience whatsoever broadcasting-wise, and this is what upsets me about the business. Goes straight up to the lead analyst, which I'm sure he'll be very, very good. I still think Peyton Manning would be the best, but fine, Brady will be great. And if you think about Brady, he has set this up perfectly. He was trying to be ownership with the Dolphins, apparently. That didn't work out. He had a plan A, B, and C. This guy is sharp as a tack. He also worked with ESPN. It's on ESPN Plus, the man in the arena. So that creates already a buzz. Everybody, for the most part, except the guy interviewing Pablo Banchero, who thinks he's Patrick Mahomes, probably knows who Tom Brady is. And Jason made this a very great point this morning when it was brought up on Waterside Wake Up. Tom Brady is going to be the lead analyst for Fox when he decides to retire. 10 years, $375 million deal. He will be paired with new play-by-play announcer Kevin Burkhardt. Why did Fox have to pay him that much money? Is that what Brady demanded? Because we're sitting here trying to figure this out, Dusty. Romo got a big deal. He's still the lead guy at CBS with Nance. And then you've got Aikman and Buck left Fox to be the lead guys on Monday Night Football, ESPN and ABC. So they're locked in, All right? Amazon's locked in with their games with Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. NBC's locked in, Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth. Fox had the only opening.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like KU. Why did you give Turner Gill $2.1 million to come to KU when you could have probably got him for $1.1? Why did you have to give $375 million to Tom Brady? You think Brady's like, guys, I just don't think I can. I can't do it for anything under $375. I mean, I don't. Is he really going to make that much money for Fox by talking football? I mean, power to the guy. And I already said I will carry his bags to any game he wants to go. I will be happy to drive Gazelle to her photo shoots. I will sacrifice to do these things. As long as Tom Brady, a simple million. He's got $374 left, and I ain't counting all the money he's got from everything else, from his football playoff career and how much he's going to make this year. I mean, to me, I'm like, dude, you should have stayed retired and just jump in the booth. It's safer, and you're going to make $37.5 million a year just to stand or sit in a booth. And, yes, he'll do other things for Fox. They said he's going to be pretty much their lead promotional guy, which I get it.
Oh, yeah.
But when you pay him that much, you better get more than just him on a Sunday talking about football.
Yeah.
But that's insane.
I think I said the 23 years with this year's contract is like $321 million
make more,
that he's made in his career.
He's going to make more
on this contract in 10 years than he did playing football.
Do you really tune in the TV? Here's my question. Listen, maybe people out there can call and let us know. Call, leave a voicemail. If you got my number, text me. If you got Dusty's number, text Dusty. Can somebody please tell me out there, anybody, and I know we've got rabid football fans out there. We got Chiefs fans. We got Bronco fans. We've got a few Dolphin fans. We've got football fans, NFL football fans. Do you tune into an NFL game because of the announcers? And we are announcers. People don't tune in. Here's what I believe. People don't tune in to games that Lakeside and Osborne and Beloit are playing or Smith Center because of Dusty or me. Now, if there's two stations covering the game and you prefer Dusty or me, then you might choose us to listen to. But really, usually, we're your only option because the only radio station covering the Lakeside game or the Osborne game more than likely is us, okay? If there's two there, then you might have to choose between the two. But do you really go, oh, you know what? Even at any level, do you go, well, I've got to listen to that game. I have nobody in the game. I don't care who wins, but I got to listen because Dusty's calling the game. Or I got to listen because Jason or Wade's calling the game. And I would be willing to bet most people nothing to do with it.
Friends and family are going to do that because I have people that do that, right?
Sure.
That list friends and family that just listen to to listen to me, and I'm sure you do too. But,
but
the general fan?
No. And so to me, is there any NFL fan out there in North Central Kansas that goes, oh, man, now I'm going to watch more Fox football because Tom Brady's the color analyst? Do you watch more CBS because you like Romo? Do you like, because you're going to get whoever is the regional game in your area. Mm-hmm. You don't get a choice anyway. Like, your choices are, if Fox and CBS both have the noon, they usually have a game at noon. You have to choose between which game you're going to watch. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I don't choose between who's the color guy on each broadcast and decide that's the game I watch. I choose between what game I think is the best one to watch. If it's Eagles-Cowboys and it's Texans-Jaguars, I'm watching Eagles-Cowboys. No matter how bad the announcing crew is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's the appeal? Why did TV networks spend so much money on the... Like, I don't think more people tune in to the NCAA tournament coverage because Barkley and Kenny Smith are on set for pre and halftime and postgame. You cannot convince me that that causes their ratings to go through the roof. And the amount of money they pay... You know, Inside the NBA is really good. The TNT show is great with those guys. But I still don't know if they actually make the money off those guys, although it's a highly rated show, and they get
NBA,
advertisers.
They probably are getting...
Could be, but don't you think they could do it without Shaq? They could easily do Kenny and Barkley, or they got Barkley and Shaq. They don't need that many people.
They don't need that many people.
CBS has five different guys. You think people will tune in for Phil Sims, Boomer Esiason, and Nate Burleson, and Bill Cowher, and James Brown? There's five guys. You can't tell me they cut two, they still get the same amount of money in advertising? So I don't understand this whole, you know, oh, okay, we got Tom Brady. What, you think the ratings are going to double because Brady's a color commentator? You're going to give this guy $375 million. Listen, I'm Kevin Burkhardt. I'm going, hello, how about me? Can I get some more?
I actually went through training for this job.
For $375 million, let Brady do the whole damn thing. Have him run the camera. Have him go ahead and download the replays. Have him call the play-by-play and the color and keep stats. You're paying the guy that much money, he should do it all.
In a way, it almost makes sense to pay your studio analyst more because that's the one you kind of have a choice with it.
Yeah.
There's no games.
That's true.
Going on, it's that hour pregame show.
That's true.
But I get that not as many eyeballs are on that as when the actual games
kick off. But
yeah,
five guys you pay millions of dollars to, and there's not as many eyeballs on that. That doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, Tom Brady, I'm jealous. And Tom, if you got my number, call me up. I'll be willing to help you out. And Jason's already got the morning show covered, so I can look for a new opportunity here. And I believe I would be perfect for anything that you need. I mean anything that you need, Tom. If you need me to carry your bags, if you need me to, you know, bail you out of jail with your own money, be happy to do that. Happy to do that. All right, the NBA playoffs last night. Devin Booker appears to be healthy.
Booker on the fly, and three is good. Devin Booker with 21. 7-0 run. Numbers. Three. Booker. Good. Cleaver couldn't find the handle. Booker goes the other way. Dinwiddie is there. Biombo screen of three. Devin 28. Ring it up. for Booker.
Hey, the Suns are a different team, and Booker's healthy, no doubt about it. And the Suns and Booker, when I looked, it was 37-30 Mavericks. Next thing I know, the Suns are up 19. 33-14 in third quarter run there. They win by 30. Booker with 28. Suns up 3-2. Have a chance to close out game six in Dallas. Miami Heat dominated their game five matchup with the Sixers in Miami. They won by 35, 120-85. Jimmy Butler led seven Heat players in double figures, putting up 23 points and nine rebounds. Miami's up 3-2. How does a team that... It's a pivotal game five, right? Pivotal game five is what they say. How do you win the last two games, look pretty good doing it, and how do you go into Miami, lay an egg, and look like you're bored to death and don't want to play? It seems like teams that have James Harden tend to do that more often than others. I can't explain it. Like, I hear certain talking heads, and I won't say who they are. I don't want to give them the time of day. There are people that are mad because Nikola Jokic won MVP, and they argue, well, he second straight year is MVP, and they lost in the first round of the playoffs. Joel Embiid, some people say, should be an MVP. How do you explain his team getting beat by 35 in a game five that really would be important to win? I know every team has an egg and they lay an egg. I don't remember the Bulls getting beat by 35 in a game five with Jordan. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I have Miami winning in seven at home. That's my prediction. You, I think, had...
I had Sixers.
You had Sixers, and Dusty had Sixers in six. Yeah. So you got to be careful jumping into the Sixer bandwagon.
I said that yesterday, too. I'm like, I'm gonna regret
right,
this.
You're right.
This.
You're right, because and the Sixers are so up and down.
Game,
they're so up and down.
35-point loss.
I don't understand it. They're so Jekyll and Hyde. Tonight in the NBA, the Celtics and Bucks tied 2-2 game five in Boston. At 6 o'clock, the Warriors have a chance to close out the Grizzlies. They lead 3-1 game five in Memphis tonight at 8:30. Ja Morant is out and probably out for the rest of the playoffs with a bone bruise. No ligament damage. That's the good news, but bone bruise. So he is out for tonight's game five. And in the hockey playoffs last night,
Kane missed the puck. Kempe taking off. Powering to the net. He scores! Adrian Kempe ending this overtime real quick with his second of the game. It's the game win. And the Los Angeles Kings lead the series 3-2.
Kings up 3-2, 5-4 win in overtime on the road in Edmonton. The Blues won 5-2 over the Wild on the road. They take a 3-2 series lead. The Maple Leafs won 4-3 over the Lightning. They're up 3-2, while the Hurricanes are up 3-2. They beat Carolina 5-1. Three game fives tonight. Penguins try to close out the Rangers. Game five at 6 o'clock tonight in New York. Panthers Capitals tied at 2-2. Pivotal game five at 6:30 in Florida tonight. And the Flames and Stars game five. Pivotal one as well at 8:30 in Calgary. That series tied at 2-2. Did you get Brady's number so I can talk to him about working out a deal? Anybody? What kind of connections do you guys have in this business?
None.
Not
in that
Dusty.
Side of the business.
None.
you need connections in the high school sports business? I probably can get you some numbers, but not at that level.
I appreciate your connections.
I might be able
to
get you, and you could get me somebody from K-State maybe.
But, yeah, sure. I'll work on that.
At that level, but no.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, just think about that. What's 1% of $375 million? 1%. 10% would be 1% would be $3.75 million, right?
Yeah.
So I would take 1%. I'd be willing to for 1%.
Well, that's over 10 years.
I'm cool. 3.75 divided by 10 years. What's that come out
it's
to?
Like $350,000.
Just make sure that I don't have to pay taxes. I want net, not gross. Okay, and I'm good. You guys would do that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We'd sell out and quit our jobs for that. I don't care how big a jerk Tom Brady is. I'll make it work, at least for a little while. Cash in, then talk to Chris Paul about his retirement and what he's going to do.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.